It's a crime, Mr. Collins.
It sure is. After all, $250,000 robbery and a few murders mightn't bother you. But when your favorite perfume doesn't put your husband in a romantic mood, wouldn't you be furious? Said husband, by the way, being Greg Collins, the famous private detective. And this, of course, is Gail Collins talking. And I'll be back in a minute to set the stage for our puzzle in crime.
It's a crime, Mr. Collins.
Let's have a sniff of that perfume, Gail.
Go right ahead, Mort. Be my guest.
It sends me.
It should, brother. Ounce.
Craig must be made of money.
Craig wasn't a bit pleased when I bought it. I'll tell you what happened. We were in Greg's office in San Francisco. I spent a fabulous amount of money on a bottle of perfume. And like any smart wife, I was going to break it to my husband gently. Greg?
Uh-huh.
Like my perfume?
It's all right.
Now, isn't that a romantic answer? The ad said, this delicate fragrance will make your loved one float on an enchanted cloud. I'm going to ask for my money back. I'm going right to the store and say, my husband did not float.
How much was this gookum?
Gookum? Greg Collins, this just happens to be Prince Michael's Essence of Gardenia, the most famous, rare, exotic perfume in the world.
How much was this gookum?
$40 a half ounce.
Holy Aunt Hannah.
Oh, don't scold me, Greg. Come here, darling. Close to me. Smell it now. Doesn't it have an effect on you?
Well, now that you mention it, Mrs. Collins.
Christmas spoiled again.
Come in.
Mr. Collins?
Yeah.
Might I see you alone for a moment?
Oh, surely. Would you wait near the room, Gail?
Oh, that isn't necessary, Greg. How do you do? I'm Mrs. Collins, and I often work with my husband on his cases, so you can go right ahead.
Would you wait in the other room, Gail?
He doesn't have any secrets on me, and so... Oh, all right, Greg. Don't glare. There's no need to get mad at me.
Sit down, Mr.
Call me John Smith.
Now, that isn't a very impressive beginning, is it? If a client hasn't enough confidence in me to tell me his real name...
Oh, I have confidence in you. I've checked up on you. They tell me you're one of the best private detectives in America. I need someone like that, someone very resourceful.
What's on your mind?
Take this envelope. Open it. Don't bother counting. 10,000. There's 10,000 in cash in it. It's yours.
If I do what?
You must help me to see someone.
Who do you want to see?
A woman named Maria Miano.
Maria Miano?
It may be a little difficult for you to arrange for me to see Miss Miano.
Why?
She's dead.
You kill her?
No, no.
Where's the body?
Buried in the cemetery about 45 miles from here.
Well, I don't go for body snatching.
Do you go for $10,000?
Here, take it back. We also don't like cases where I don't know my client's real name. Now, why do you want this job done?
Part of our agreement would be that you're not to ask any questions.
I don't go for that either. This deal won't wash, pal.
I'm offering you $10,000 cash, Mr. Collins. Free of taxes, of course. I've never reported, and I'd advise you not to.
Get out, John Smith or John Doe, whatever you
have. But, Mr. Collins, now...
Good afternoon, Mr. Smith.
It would be childishly simple.
Get out of here.
Now, look here.
My son, I'm proud of you.
Ah, shut up.
Seems easy to turn down 10 big ones.
Were you with the keyhole again?
What do you suppose he wants with that body?
Well, I think...
Yes?
It's his wife's body.
Go on.
He murdered her.
Yes?
Because she bought some fancy perfume for $40 a half ounce.
That is not funny.
If that's our friend the ghoul again... Come in!
Mr. Collins?
Yeah.
I'm Dr. Kay of the Psychiatric Institute.
Oh, come in and sit down, Doctor. Gail?
I'm going.
What can I do for you, Doctor?
Well, I believe you've just been speaking to a patient of mine.
Really?
Short, stocky, very intense black hair, extremely pale, anemic complexion. Probably didn't give you his name.
Well, he just left.
Well, his name was Philip Park. We physicians often find ourselves in a difficult ethical dilemma, Mr. Collins. When do we violate our oath and discuss patients with the public? Presume a patient is a railroad engineer or airplane pilot? Presume he's anxious, guilt-ridden, his behavior most unpredictable. Now, does the doctor violate the medical code and report this? Oh, I think he's obliged to. I'm forced to tell you about Park. He's what we term a paranoid. He has systematized delusions.
He's seeing things, you mean, huh?
Precisely. Did he give you the story about the dead body?
He did.
Yeah, there actually is a woman named Maria Miano buried some miles from here. She has no connection with Park. I imagine he heard the name somewhere or read it in the newspaper. He imagines that she calls him and begs him to free her from the grave. Characteristic morbid obsession. Well, I'm afraid we shall have to hospitalize him permanently.
Is there anything I can do, Doctor?
No, thank you. No, I'm sorry if he gave you a rather gruesome time. I just thought I'd acquaint you with the facts. Did he offer you money?
Yeah. $10,000 in cash.
Well, it was genuine, Mr. Collins. He's extremely wealthy. Oh, there's no necessity for calling the police. It'd just embarrass everyone. This won't happen again, I assure you. We've allowed him shade too much freedom.
Has he any family and friends?
No, he's led a very secluded life in a curious house he owns on Palmer Road below Carmel.
Oh, thank you for coming, Doctor.
Yes, I've violated my professional confidence, but I feel for well-justified reasons. I'm sure you won't discuss this with anybody. Good afternoon.
Bye. You can come in now, Jim.
So, our body-snatching friend is named Philip Park, and he's gone completely pineapple and is listening to the Goon Goonie Birds.
Yeah.
I know you, Mr. Collins. That expression on your face. You're fitting pieces of a puzzle together.
There's a good double feature in the neighborhood.
A whopper.
Fine. I'll buy you a big jelly apple and a bag of popcorn, and you can go to the movies tonight and live it up.
Why, you go sticking your nose into this case.
I'm just going to wander around, that's all.
Say, for instance, to Park's house on Palmer Road.
Say, for instance, something like that.
What time do we leave?
Me, not you.
If you don't take me with you, I'll go alone. I'll sneak out of the movies and follow you. Besides, who goes to a romantic movie and sits in the dark alone?
I was afraid of this.
Come on, let's pay a visit to Mr. Park.
You sure you want to go? He might not be lonesome anymore.
What do you mean?
Maybe he dug up company for himself.
And with that pleasant thought, we'll have a brief interruption. That night, we drove to Palmer Road. It was across the Bay Bridge and down 101 to a section of Spanish villas clustered on a cliff by the Pacific. You had to swerve sharply off the highway and climb small, winding roads up the cliffside. Occasionally, you would see a strange face, a hitchhiker, a Spanish farm worker. The weather was awful. The desolation was worse. Greg parked the car in the driveway on Palmer Road. It was a strange house that evidently had been redecorated. The attempt to brighten it up was half-hearted and sort of neurotic. We stood on the porch and rang the bell. Nobody's home.
Ring again.
Want to try the door?
I will.
It's open.
Wait. You hear something?
Sounds like a big row upstairs.
I'll sneak in. Easy. Quiet. Close the door.
Now we can... Well, there's Mr. Park. The top of the stairs. Hello, Mr. Park. How are you?
Collins.
Oh, there's a knife in his back.
Yes, and the man who put it there is behind him in the shadows, see?
Stay where you are.
Stop him, Greg. He's running.
I'll get him. I'm going up the stairs.
No, look out. Wait. Park's falling.
Stand back from the stairway, Gail. The body will hit you.
Philip Park, with a knife in his back, fell down the stairway of his home, the body landing less than a foot from where I stood with Greg. A few seconds Greg lost while he grabbed me and sidestepped the body, cost us the killer. By the time Greg had raced upstairs, the killer had reached the roof, crossed over to another house, and disappeared. Greg, exhausted by the chase, had come back to where I stood by Park's body.
I got a good look at the murderer, Gail. I'll know him if I see him again. Yeah, ugly little runt.
What have you got in your hand?
It's a dress. Our knife-throwing friend dropped it. Didn't dare stop and pick it up. I think that's why he came to visit the late Mr. Park.
Just to get a dress?
Maybe.
Well, let's see it. Hold it up. Oh, great. Fascinating. Look at that embroidery on it. I've never seen such work. Look at how they've woven all these complicated designs. Sort of Spanish-looking, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes, it is. Come on, we'll call the police. And we're going home and play games on this dress.
Play games on it? What kind of games?
Jigsaw puzzles.
A man kills another man to get hold of a dress. Then you take it home and play jigsaw puzzles on it. You know, confidentially, Bob. Maybe you ought to see that psychiatrist, too, huh? When we got home, Greg gave me a pencil and paper, took some himself, and then laid out the dress.
Gail, men don't kill each other over a dress, unless it's more than just a dress.
I know. I figured it out. You think the designs on it mean something.
It's possible. You take your pencil and paper and trace the pattern of the green threads. I'll do the same thing with the blue ones.
It's like being back in kindergarten again. Okay, teacher. Let's trace the pretty colors. Looks like the green threads don't mean a thing, Greg.
Yeah, the blues don't make sense either. Now you try the purple ones. I'll take the ivory threads.
Purple threads don't make any pattern either. Comes out kind of silly.
Yes, but look at what I've got tracing the ivory thread.
It's an arrow. And all those squares. I'd say, it looks like a plan of a building. See? These would be windows. Two stories. The arrow's pointing to a sort of a tower on top. Think so?
Surely that's it.
But what building? Where?
We may find out soon. We'll be having a visitor.
Who's coming?
The killer knows I picked up the dress. He knows my name. Park said it just before he died. So Alfonso will be back. Yes, we'll be having a visit soon from an ugly little rat who likes to dig knives into people.
Greg was wrong. Nothing happened that night. Nothing happened the next morning. So Greg left the house, headed for his office. And I went downstairs with him.
Just you stay home like a good girl. I'll handle whatever comes up.
All right. You can handle it all by yourself. I have to go to the grocer's anyway.
You mean you're actually going to stay out of this?
Uh-huh. For a while. I'm going shopping.
I don't get it.
I have to go shopping, that's all.
That's why you're wearing that awful blouse and skirt, I suppose. I thought you were going to throw them away.
My nice dresses get soiled when I handle bundles, so I save this.
Okay. Bye.
Greg?
What is it?
Don't let anything happen to you.
Oh, why not? A little gunplay might be fun.
No, don't. I kind of like you, and who knows? This might blossom into a beautiful romance.
Hello?
Greg, I finished shopping. Did the ugly little runt show up at your office?
No, no sign here of anyone.
I had the food delivered, Greg. I'm not going home. I'm going to the Papagaya room for lunch. I met Lorna. Remember her?
The Papagaya room? Are you trying to drive me into bankruptcy, man?
But lunch there is sensational.
Well,
Greg.
Yeah?
I love you anyway. Even if you are a nasty old miser.
Goodbye, Mrs. Collins.
Goodbye, Scrooge.
Greg had a very quiet day and went home at 6. When he got there, I wasn't in for a very good reason. He had just stretched that long, lanky body of his out on a couch when the doorbell rang.
Good evening, Mr. Collins. Dr. Kay. I read in the morning papers that my friend Mr. Park was done away with.
Did you?
It wasn't news to me, of course. I'd arranged it.
What's your real name, pal?
Oh, it's Kay, Francis Kay. Of course, I'm not a psychiatrist.
You have a charming apartment. Thank you.
Waiting for your wife, Mr. Collins?
What's that got to do with it?
I think your wife will be late, sir. Very late.
What are you driving in?
I've been obliged to detain her.
You what?
Try to keep calm, sir. She's with a friend of mine. He has instructions that if anything goes amiss, he's to kill your wife.
Why,
it's very unfortunate, very, but I had no alternative. You have address here, Mr. Collins. I want it. I know you'd be reluctant to part with it, so I took the trouble of detaining your wife just after she left the Papagaya room. I thought this might persuade you to give me the dress.
It might?
I want it right now. You have an alluring wife, sir. I'd be very reluctant to see my associate using knife on her.
I'll get the dress for you.
Excellent. It's an intriguing dress, you know. Dates back to the days when California was dominated by the Spanish. They demanded very heavy taxes from the population. But a mission in San Linda, just south of here, the founders refused to comply. They took all of their treasure, in fact, all of the gold and valuable pieces in the town, and hid them in their mission. The Spanish, of course, were furious and ransacked the town. They never found the treasure. A woman escaped from San Linda and made this dress.
With a map designed with the ivory threads, telling exactly where the treasure could be found in the mission building.
Precisely. And quite a treasure it is, reportedly worth $250,000. Yeah, there's a picturesque legend now. They say the bell in the mission will ring when the treasure is found. I intend to ring it, Mr. Collins.
I gathered. I think I can fill in the rest of the story. A woman named Maria Miano was buried in that dress very recently. Word got to Philip Park and to you. You're both,
shall we say, collectors of rare objects, Dart.
Park asked me to help dig up the body so he could get the dress. You knew what he was up to, so you posed as his psychiatrist, so I keep my hands up. Park got desperate that day and dug up the dress himself. He went home. And then a very ugly little associate of yours caught up with him.
Yeah, very careless he was, too, dropping the dress. May I have it, please?
It's in this closet. Why, it was here last night.
I don't enjoy this kind of game, Mr. Collins. Now find that dress.
It was in this closet. I don't know where it could
be. I am not impressed, Mr. Collins. I don't believe you. But I'm going to be very generous. I'm going to give you a few hours to locate the dress. I shall return here at, say, midnight.
And believe me, friends, Mr. Kay wasn't kidding. But we'll bring you the climax of the case in just a minute. I really had been grabbed by a guy who poked a gun in my back and made me get into a car. Then he put a bandage over my eyes. We drove quite a while. When they removed the blindfold, I was in a room that looked like those cells that friars used centuries ago. Religious pictures on the wall, bare table, prayer books, candlelight. An ugly little man who, I guessed, was the character who killed Park, sat in the room with me, watching me closely. He had an extra-large pocket knife with which he kept whittling on a small piece of wood. Couldn't you tell me why you brought me here? What's this all about?
I don't know nothing.
But I...
Shut up!
Hi. This is Collins.
Dr. Kay.
I'm sorry, I'm not really a physician. I'm just someone who's interested in finding that dress your husband has.
Oh, I see.
He was to give it to me tonight at 12 o'clock in your apartment, but I just called there. Your husband wasn't in. Yes, I'd warned him to.
Warned him?
Yes, I told him if I didn't have the dress by midnight, we'd be obliged to kill you. That's why my friend here has that knife. He's going to use it on you now. I shall step outside. The sight would be too offensive for me. I'll be back in a few minutes.
Yeah, go ahead, Kay. Leave it to me.
I'm sorry it's worked out this way, Mrs. Collins. Very unfortunate. Sure.
Come here, Mrs. Collins.
No. No.
Drop the knife.
No.
What did I said drop the knife. Let go of her.
Why, you... Oh, my shoulder. Oh.
He's out cold. Come on, Gail. Get out of here quietly.
Oh, Greg.
Now, I'll close this door. Drop this bolt. Now, where's Kay?
He was here a minute ago. I don't know where he is now. Where are we, Greg? Did you bring the police?
We're at the mission in San Linda. Couldn't bring the police. Too risky. Kay might have killed her. The building looked deserted, but I'm sure he's around somewhere.
This is the building designed on the dress.
Yes, and there's $250,000 in treasure here. Kay is probably looking for it right now. Come this way.
The arrow, it pointed to a tower.
Sure, the bell tower. Maybe Kay is poning around closer to the treasure than he thinks. I saw the bell tower on the way in. Now, through this archway. Come on. Easy.
There he is, Greg. Up in the bell tower.
Stand aside where he can't see you.
Calm down, Kay.
Mr. Collins.
Come on down or I'll shoot you down.
Oh, you aren't the only one who has a gun, Mr. Collins.
Didn't get anyone near me. Too dark. He can't see me very well down here. But I can see him. The moonlight up there helps him.
Now you've come down the hard way, Terry.
I got him. He's staggering, see?
He's reaching for the bell rope to keep his balance.
Won't work. He's falling. Right down the rope.
Fell to the bottom of the bell tower, clutching at the rope all the way. And, as the legend had predicted, the mission bell at St. Linda rang out, for the treasure was in the bell tower. Greg and I started in the tower under the bricks surrounding the bell, just where the arrow on the dress had pointed. We turned it over to the church. It was sunrise by the time we were back in the lobby of our house. Greg, how'd you know I was in St. Linda?
The map on the dress showed a building. When Kay came to see me, he was so sure of himself, he spilled the whole story. He mentioned the mission at San Linda. I figured he'd take you there where he could keep an eye on you and the building at the same time. Well, now you've some explaining to do, chum.
Me? Mm-hmm.
You've another dress on underneath this outfit, haven't you?
Uh-huh. But how'd you know?
When I found out the Spanish gown was missing from our guest closet, I knew you'd put it on. And put a loose-fitting outfit on over it.
Wasn't it clever of me? I knew all sorts of people would be gunning for the dress, so I figured the best place to hide was just to put it on. But how did you know I'm wearing it?
When we went out this morning, you had on this horrible blouse and skirt. Then you phoned and said you were going to the Papagaya room for lunch. You also said you hadn't been home. Gail, you'd never go to that swanky place in a terrible outfit like this without an extra special reason.
Wasn't it a good idea, Greg?
Oh, yeah, very. Nearly got you killed. Gail, are you wearing that goo-goo again?
Don't you like my perfume just a little bit, Greg?
It's okay.
When you kiss me and inhale it, don't you really, really go for it?
Yeah, I suppose so. Yeah.
Oh, I'm so glad.
Because it makes me romantic?
No.
Why are you so glad I like the perfume?
Because I bought 3 more bottles today. Moral of the story. Up until now, science thought it could create the biggest explosion in history by setting off an atom bomb. But it is now possible to create an even bigger reaction. Just tell your husband you bought $120 worth of perfume. Don't don't go away. In just a moment, we'll be back with you.
Well, folks, Gail and I hope you've enjoyed our adventure, The Clue of the Ivory Thread. Be sure to visit us next time for another Puzzle in Murder, where there is crime and romance. There you'll find Mr.
and Mrs. Collins.